What does priorities have to do with relationships? Our priority in life should be what? God, that's right. God, Jesus, Bible. And the priority of our life, the number one place in our life, should not be held by who? True, yourself. A girlfriend or a boyfriend, right? I did that with Melissa for a long time. It was a bad, bad decision that I put her as the number one priority in my life. Totally the worst thing I could do in our relationship. And now she did. No, we're not talking about that. Tonight, why are we talking about this? Anybody remember why we are talking about this? Is anybody getting married next week? Honestly, is anyone getting married next week? How many of you guys cannot date right now? Like your parents are not allowing you to date. Even if you wanted to date, you could not date. Okay? About half of you guys. How many of you guys are not even interested in dating? Boys are gross. And, okay. So why do we talk about this? Why are we talking about this? Bobby. Why are we talking about this for our future? Yeah, exactly. That right now, this is the time to start looking at what God intends for a guy-girl relationship. When you can't even date, or you don't even want to date, you have no interest in dating, or maybe you don't have a girlfriend right now, but maybe you're interested in dating, or you don't have a boyfriend right now and you're interested in dating, this is the time to look at it. Because inevitably, what happens is, the worst time to look at it is after you're in a relationship. Because I've seen 100 times in all the relationships, the high school relationships, junior high relationships that I've seen, they fall for each other, and they're just so caught up with each other, and, oh, I just love this other person, oh, they're so great, wonderful, and they're in this relationship, and they're setting patterns in that relationship that are not good, that are not what God has for them, and that are not going to be good later on in their life, and usually people fall too hard too fast, and they get caught up, and they go, and they might get into a situation where they're like, man, this is really not, I'm in a relationship that's really not good for me, but we feel too much for each other. We're in too deep now, so we're just going to continue in this relationship because it's just the way it is. We shouldn't break up. We shouldn't change our relationship. It's too hard once you're already in there. This is the time to start talking about it and to start looking at it. And the most important reason why we look at this is that that person, that boyfriend or girlfriend in your life, becomes one of the most important relationships in your life. And that fiancé, once you have a fiancé, becomes one of the most important persons in your life. And once you get married, that person should be the most important person in your life. And God cares about the people that you're close with. He cares about that. And he has stuff to say about that. So that's why we're talking about that. Tonight we are going to talk about specifically what kind of a person God wants me to be with. Wants you to be with. And at the top of your sheet there, I just wanted to start with this because this is not out of the Bible. This is just my perspective on how people usually size up a dating relationship, how we figure out who we like and who we don't like, and whether I should date this person or should not date this person. Usually it all comes down to these five things. The first one's this. You know what? I can actually control it now. I have the power. Maybe. Oh, I don't have the power. Oh, it's not on. I have the power. Yes. The first one is this. Emotional. We size up a dating relationship based on the emotional, which is how much we feel for each other. Look around at other people. Look around at, there's probably people that you know that are in a dating relationship. A lot of people evaluate their relationship based on this. They go, you make me feel good when I'm around you, so I want to continue to be around you. I want to get into a deeper relationship with you. I feel like I love you, and so I am going to date you, or I'm going to continue to date you. It's all about how I feel about you and how you feel about me. Not right now, Cody. You'll have a chance in your small group. You'll have a chance in your small group. The second thing is, the second thing is this. Physical. How much are we attracted to each other physically? Oh, she is cute. He is dreamy. I don't know. What do girls say about guys? Oh, he's a hunk.
He completes me.
You know, you look at the other person, you're like, and you're attracted. They're smoking hot. They're looking cute. And for, you know, we're supposed to be rating these. It says rate 1 to 10. You should rate. How important is the emotional? How important should the emotional be in a relationship? 1 to 10. Second thing is, how important is the physical? For guys, sometimes this is like the only consideration. Oh, she's hot, so I like her. I don't even know her, but I like her. The third thing is this, social. Which is how much we get along. Common interests that you have together. This is when you go, you know what? I really like this person because we can talk for hours. He's the only person that I can just sit and talk to forever. I remember when Melissa and I first started dating, we used to sit on the phone forever. I remember at least one night, like, talking all the way until, like, the next morning, right? I don't know, what do you talk about for like 10 hours or something? I don't know what we were talking about. But she was the person that I could share everything with, and I could tell her everything, and I could share everything about my life with. And we had that in common. This is also including things like we just have so much in common. We both like sports. We both like to go hiking. We both like snow machining. We both like skiing. We both like to read books. I don't know who would like to read books, but we have all these things in common, and that is why we like each other. That's why we're attracted to each other. That's why I'm attracted to him. That's why I'm attracted to her, is all these things that we have in common. Fourth thing is this, intellectual. You're doing that back there. I know you are. Intellectual, which is this, how much you know and understand the other person. How much you know and understand that other person. This is saying, you know what, I feel like I could share anything with this person. I'm an open book. That person's an open book with me. I know this person so completely. We've known each other forever. Melissa and I were really good friends for a long time before we started dating. She was like my best girlfriend, my best friend who was a girl for a long time. And we knew each other really well. And a lot of times, you size a relationship that way. I know this person really well, and so that's why we're going to date, or that's why I feel close to this other person. And the fifth thing is spiritual, which is not even going to show up on here, is spiritual. How much are we on the same page spiritually? And most of the time, I have found that when we evaluate a relationship, when we evaluate, oh, I like her, or I am interested in this guy, it all revolves around one of these five things. The one we're going to talk about tonight, because God says this is actually the most important, we'll see this tonight, is the spiritual, is how compatible you are with that other person spiritually. Open up to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. It's in the front of your Bible. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Anybody have a page? What page is it, Chloe? Page 2. Wow, that's cool. Page 2. Genesis 2, and we're going to start in verse 20. You can also look up here if you want. It says this. It says, the man gave names to all of the cattle. This is the creation account. This is when God created the world, created the heavens and the earth, created all the animals, created man. This is all around that time. And this is right after he finished creation. This is the events that happened after that. It says, the man Adam was the man, gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast in the field. But for Adam, there was not found a suitable helper for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So Adam is sitting here in the garden, and he's hanging out with all of his animal friends. He's like Ace Ventura. You guys ever seen Ace Ventura? He had a lot of animal friends. Well, Adam wasn't quite like Jim Carrey, but he had all these animal friends, and he named them all. He said, "You're going to be a deer, and you're going to be a moose, and you're going to be a bear." And, you know, he named all of the animals. But in all of the animals, in all of creation, it says no suitable helper was found. Suitable just means that there was no match. There was no fit for Adam. Out of all of creation, there was no fit for Adam. It's the picture that I like to think of with that word is like two puzzle pieces. You can take two puzzle pieces, and they look kind of weird and all deformed, and they're all cut out and stuff, you know? And they look completely different, but when you take two puzzle pieces that fit together, they slide right in, and there's a perfect match. And when that match happens, it actually creates kind of one new piece that when you have this huge puzzle, you can, like, fit it into the rest of the piece. But it's a perfect fit, like a puzzle fits into fit. And there wasn't that fit. There wasn't that match for Adam. So God said, "I'm going to make a match. I'm going to make a suitable helper for you. I'm going to make someone who fits you." Who fits you. And so God took a rib out of Adam and created Eve, created woman from that. And Adam's response was, "Yeah, this is cool. Finally, out of all of creation, there was no fit for me. Finally, there's someone like me. There's someone who's bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Someone like me. Someone who fits me, who's a match for me." And keep in mind that this wasn't Adam's doing. That Adam did nothing to create the suitable helper for him. God is the one who did it. God said, God went through all the days of creation, and after each day of creation, God said, "This is good." And then he created a bunch of other stuff, and he said, "This is good." And then he created a bunch of other stuff, and he said, "This is good." But then he comes to man, he comes to Adam, and he finally says, "Something is not good." And what he said was, "It is not good for Adam to be all alone. He has all the animals, but this is not good. So I'm going to make this fit for him. I'm going to make this match." God decided to bless Adam with this match for him. And that's Adam, okay? We're leaving that with Adam. But the next verse says this. Verse 24 says this. It says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." He says, for this reason, that was Adam and Eve, now a man will leave his parents, a woman will leave her parents, and they will come together, and like two separate puzzle pieces that look kind of weird and different, they fit together. There's a match. There's a fit there. Like those puzzle pieces. And the bottom line is this. That guys, for you, all the guys here, there is a girl that fits you. God has in mind, now it's possible that some of you might not get married. That is a possibility, and God has great plans for singleness, great plans. My this is totally a side note, but it's awesome. My brother-in-law, Mark, who, if you guys were here right before Christmas, you were in Sunday morning service. He was up and he helped. He played the congas and he sang songs with us. Mark was my best friend in high school, but he's also my brother-in-law now because he's Melissa's brother. He's single. And it is amazing how God's been able to use his singleness. He does things that he could never do as a married guy. Not to be married is bad. I wouldn't trade it for a word. Being married is awesome. But God has been able to use him in ways that God could never use me because of his singleness. It's awesome. God has a plan for singleness in people. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that at some point, if you're going to be married, God has that fit for you. Guys and girls, God has a guy who is a fit for you. That is the reality. And he has an exact idea. Even right now, God knows exactly who that fit is. And he's preparing you for that other person, and he's preparing that other person for you. He's whittling away that little puzzle piece that will eventually fit together. It's awesome. It's awesome that God has done that. But there's some things that we know. God does have a fit for you. That's the point there. But we know who that person is not. I can tell you a couple of things that person is not. For one, that person is not, if you are a guy, that person is not another guy. And if you're a girl, that person is not another girl. Why? Well, because that's gross. Oh, no, that's not why. Why is that person not a fit? Because girls and girls do not fit. Guys and guys do not fit. God's plan was for a girl and a guy to fit. He is preparing for you, if you're a girl, a guy. And if he's preparing for you a guy, if you're a guy, he's preparing a girl for you. That is the reality. There is a fit for you. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Open up to that if you want. If someone's already open to it, is there a page number? Anybody got it already? 22. No, it can't be 22. You can look up here. 1377. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 and 15 says this. It says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? He starts out and he says, do not be bound. The word bound was actually a term, it's an Old Testament term that they used for carrying carts. You know, like it's kind of like the Old West. You know how they would put these big things on top of oxen? You guys studied the Old West, right? Yokes, yeah. Yokes. Thank you. Yokes, no. Y-O-K-E-S. They put a yoke. It's this big thing that goes on top of the oxen, and they would pull the wagon behind them. Well, in the Old Testament, this word was used by God to say, don't ever put an ox with a donkey. That's not a good thing. Because an ox and a donkey are not going to pull the cart well. Don't do it. Don't put them both under this yoke. And it's the same word he's using here. Don't be matched. The definition of that word is actually match. It's actually mismatched. Don't be mismatched with an unbeliever. Don't enter into a partnership, he uses that word, any kind of partnership. And we're using this in what we're talking about to talk about guy-girl relationships. Exclusive relationships. Now, maybe you could look at this, honestly, and I'm going to leave this open for you guys to look at God's word and go, I'm going to make a decision on this. You might look at this and go, you know what? I'm going to date this girl, and it's kind of just free, and, you know, I can date her, and I can date her, and I can date, and we just go on, I just go on dates with all of them. It's not exclusive. It's not like we're connected in this exclusive relationship. Maybe you could take that and go, okay, you can be in that kind of a dating relationship. But the very definition of this is, do not be hooked up with an unbeliever. Do you guys still use that term? Like he hooked up with her, or she hooked up with him, or whatever? Like, yeah. The very definition of this word is, don't be hooked up with an unbeliever. Don't get into an exclusive relationship with someone who is not a believer. Why? Why? Hold on. Why? You'll have a chance in your soul group to talk about. Why would he say that? And he tells you why. He says, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? If you guys were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about this exact issue. That those who are not believers are actually in a state of lawlessness. They're in a state of not submitting their lives to God in any way. They're actually enemies of God. They are. And you can rationalize in your head all the ways that you are you have in common with that other person, all the ways that you're compatible with that other person. But the bottom line is, you are a friend of God. You are a servant of God. You are this new person that we talked about this morning in Sunday school. You are this new person in Christ. You have been created completely new and in a righteous state with God, in a right standing with God. You're a friend of God. And they are an enemy of God. There is no way to get around that. But we like to go snowshoeing together. Great. Fantastic. Go snowshoeing. Don't get in an exclusive relationship with them. But we really, really like each other. We really, really feel like, oh, he's just the guy for me. I got to tell you. He's an enemy of God, and you are a friend of God. You can't reconcile that. You can't reconcile that. He goes on and says, or what fellowship has light with darkness? I love this illustration. You know why? Because scientifically, wherever light exists, darkness cannot exist. Wherever darkness exists, light is not there. Light and darkness cannot exist the same point in space at any given time. I love that. Because I'm kind of analytical that way, and I like that. They can't. He's saying, let me give you an example. It's like dating an unbeliever and you're a believer is like being light and darkness. They cannot be together. They cannot fellowship together. They cannot be at the same point at the same time. It's just impossible. Don't waste your time doing that. And he goes on, or what harmony, you can ask your question in your celebrate group, or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Belial is another name for the devil. Honestly, look at it. Don't think about dating relationships. What fellowship could Christ and the devil just like hang out and go have fun? No, they are completely opposite ends of the spectrum. No, that relationship would not exist. That relationship would not exist. What fellowship can they have? None. And he says, he finishes off with this, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And the answer is, it's a rhetorical question. Rhetorical question is, he's making a statement by asking a question. There is no fellowship that can happen. There is no commonality that you can have there. Now the question you have to ask yourself is, are you going to believe your own mind, which is, but we have all this stuff in common? Yeah, okay, we don't have the spiritual thing in common. Okay, they're not a believer, they don't serve God, I do serve God, okay. But we have all this other stuff in common. Everything else in our lives we have in common. We like each other so much. We can talk to each other for hours. Don't you understand? The question you have to ask yourself, are you going to trust in your own thoughts? Or are you going to trust in God's thoughts? Are you going to live your life the way God says it's best to live your life? How you can live your life to the fullest? Or are you going to trust in how you think living your life to the fullest will be? That's the question. Bottom line is, the point there, unbelievers do not fit believers. They don't. There is a fit for you, but that fit is not an unbeliever. I can guarantee you it's not. Why? Because God said. Ask it in your So What group. Ask it in your So What group. I'll go into your So What group with you. Ephesians 5, 22 says this. We're going to go over this real quick, okay? And we're actually going to head back to the passage we covered last week, which is just a few verses before. So if you're looking at it, go back to verse 15, which says this. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Remember, we talked about that last week. Are you going to be smart about your life, or are you going to be dumb about your life? Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. It's a waste of your life. But be fulfilled, remember, with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. He's starting out what he's going to talk about here with relationships. He's going to start talking about relationships now. That's what we're going to look at. He starts it out by saying, first, be fulfilled by God. That's why we covered that last week. Because I don't believe you can do what we're about to talk about unless you're finding your fulfillment in God alone. He starts there. And then he goes on in verse 22 and says this. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. We're talking about this now, not because any of you are getting married tomorrow, not because any of you are getting married in the next, 3 years. I doubt anybody is going to get married in the next 3 years. But the bottom line is, you need to start now preparing your, I guess Heidi possibly. You need to prepare yourself now for what a marriage relationship is about. And the reason why I think this is so darn important for us to look at is I think the world's view on a marriage has really become what Christians' view of a marriage is. We buy into their view on it. And God's view is very, very different. He says this, girls, the relationship that you are preparing for, the relationship that you will enter into with a guy, with that fit for you, is a relationship in which you are going to enter into simply for this reason, so that you can live your life for him. That is what the marriage relationship for the girl is about. It's for living for his wants, for his needs, for his desires. He becomes the most important person in the relationship. You're not the important person. He is definitely, without a doubt, the most important person in the relationship. That is what a marriage is about. That is what a marriage is to be your husband. Yes, definitely. Good question. God is number one. I'm saying in the relationship, the guy-girl relationship, you got two people. The most important person in that relationship, person, is that other person, not yourself. You are not the important person. You are not to go into a relationship. This is the world's point of view. I'm going to get into a relationship. I'm going to get into a marriage with someone else. That is kind of a 50-50 deal. It's a deal where I give a little, they give a little. We compromise Sometimes I get what I want, sometimes they get what they want. And that's the way the relationship works. It seems logical. That's why people buy into it. That seems like a logical relationship, 50-50. That's how relationships are supposed to be. God's plan for relationship is 100%. This relationship is about, this is from the girl's perspective, this relationship is about the guy. This relationship is about my husband. I am going to get into a marriage because I want to serve and live my life for him. That is the reason to get into a relationship. Not for what you can get out of the relationship. Now, being clear on this, this is not the part that's talking to guys. This is not guys going, yeah, the relationship's all about me. That's right. That's how it should be. 100% all about me. No, guys is the next thing. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. How did Christ love the church? And gave himself up for her. How does a guy enter a marriage relationship? What are you preparing yourselves for, guys? The relationship that you're preparing yourself for is a relationship where you will daily give up your life for your wife. Bobby, please don't talk. It's where you give up your life for your wife. It is not a relationship that's 50-50. It's not a relationship where, man, maybe I can get a few things out of this relationship. It's a relationship that you're entering into to go, you know what? My life is over. I am going to live my life. I am going to give up my life for such and such, whoever, whatever her name is. That's what a marriage relationship was about. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. God's plan for a marriage relationship, the relationship that you are preparing for, is I'm going to give up everything for that other person. That other person is the priority of our relationship. No question. So the point there is this. I'm supposed to make that quick. Marriage is not about what you can get from the relationship, but about what you can give. So many people enter the marriage relationship looking at what they're going to get out of the relationship. I should get something out of this. I got to put the old ball and chain on. I got to get something out of this. But God's plan is not that. God's plan for an amazing relationship, and I can tell you this, when that marriage is working great, it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. When each person is giving everything for the other person, it is unbelievable. That is how a marriage should be. That is God's plan for a marriage. I said the side note last time, I'm going to say this side note again. This is how you need to change your thinking to God's thinking about relationships. And if you're thinking about dating someone, when you get to that point where you're thinking about dating someone, you need to be thinking, are these the priorities for that person? Is this true of the person that I'm looking to get in this relationship with? Is that true for them? Bottom of your handout says, trust that God knows what's best for you. Don't settle for something or someone that is not what God has planned for you. So many people settle. You don't understand. I'm not going to be able to find a guy who loves God and wants to serve God and wants to do what God's plan is for a relationship, what God's plan is for a marriage. I can't find that guy. The guy's not out there. It's just too slim pickings. And those guys that are out there, I don't know. I'm not really into. Trust God that he has that fit for you. Trust him. Don't settle for something. I've seen way too many people settle. Last question there is, what needs to change in your life to prepare you for a relationship, for a dating relationship? Let's pray, and we will go to our groups. God, I am just so unbelievably thankful that you saw fit to give me this information, and that I was able to get this information before I... got serious in a relationship, before I got married, that I was able to find out your perspective on that relationship. That I was able to find out about that fit, that perfect fit that you had for me. And I'm just so thankful that you did that. Melissa is simply a gift from you. There's no other way to explain it. And thank you that you have given us the tools that we need to have successful relationships. Relationships that honor you and relationships that do function and succeed and are amazing. Praise the Lord in your name. Amen. Let's go to our groups, guys.